sound so good today. I was waiting for a next song, encore. But I think I'm on. Amen. I'm so grateful and deeply privileged to be here with you, especially in this season, as you, as this congregation, as our pastor, elder community, sustains the loss of a dear brother, of a dear friend. Prayers are with you. I hope you feel them. I certainly felt the power of the Holy Spirit as I walked in here this morning. I don't know about you, it's palpable. I hope you feel it. God is here. Amen?
Amen.
Emmanuel, God is with us. Praise be to God. Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O Lord, for this time, for this place, for this season, for your grace, for your word, for your wisdom, for your love and power. Be with us now, Lord, as we spend time in your holy word, and give us the grace of understanding and of learning to breathe one day at a time. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite memories is a vacation moment. I had the opportunity to be in Oahu about a year and a half ago, and it was my first time to the Hawaiian Islands, and I love to swim, but never have I had the opportunity to swim in a body of water that felt just so large. And I grew up in Southern California, so I know the Los Angeles beaches and the Orange County beaches, but to just go out into the deep ocean and just give myself over to the power of God's creation and literally just float. And it took me about 3 days to really give in to the ocean. It gave me, because I struggled, I took with me my flippers, my zoomers. I don't know if any of you have your zoomers, yeah? I took my goggles. Initially I had, you know, those little elbow floaters, right? Because I wanted so desperately to go out into, I love to swim. I'm a Pisces, birthday's coming up. And I so desperately wanted to enjoy God's creation in the water. My friend had been there so many times and she just had all the confidence in the world and it was swimming way out. I could barely see her. And there I was still, you know, with the people that were beginning swimmers, and I'm not a beginning swimmer, but I was so filled with fear, and it took me about 3 days to really just give in. To really just give in and to rest and to float and to look up at the sky and to become just lay almost like the meat of a sandwich between the sky and the ocean. And it was a beautiful feeling. And in that moment, when I finally gave in, the thought that came to my mind was, wow, I have no power at all. I have no control at all. I could come prepared. I can have my zoomers. I could have my floaters. I could have my goggles. I could even put on all my sunblock. But at the end of the day, I do not have control. I do not have power. And as I laid there flat on my back, I looked up, and who do you think I thought of? I thought of God. And the thought came to my mind, just as it says here in our psalm. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, because sometimes it takes humans more than once to hear something, yes? Power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. Our scripture this morning is one that I grew up with. And I was having flashbacks from Sunday school as my brother was having the children's time. I grew up with this idea that about choice, about making a decision as a disciple of Jesus, as a good, obedient daughter of the living God, that if I hear the word of God, and if I do the word of God, if I build my house, if I am that wise builder, if I build my house on a rock, well, then my life is going to go according to plan. as opposed to the others, right? That might hear the word, goes in one ear, out the next. They don't do anything about it. Those, they build on shifting sand. And I grew up almost with this sense of self-righteousness about me. Even well into the time where I began to serve the Lord in my capacity as a pastor in this very own annual conference, even not that long ago, even down the street at La Trinidad, with this notion that if I hear the word of God, if I do and act and build my house on a rock, build my life on the rock, my life will go according to plan. I will survive. But the waters come, don't they? Even for good Christian folk. The waters come even when we hear the word of God, even when we try our hardest to be faithful to the word. Even when our homes we build, our families we build, our churches we build upon the rock, even in times where we choose wisely, or we believe we have chosen wisely, the waters come. The waves, they come. And it feels like we're drowning, yes? I don't know about you, but the Lord's been teaching me a lot more lately about grace than ever I have learned about grace the whole of my life. And I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in my mother's womb hearing about the love of the Lord. But it's become real now. And I think of that moment in the ocean, that moment where I struggled and I had faith and I believe if I'm going to prepare myself, but no matter the preparation, what it comes down to is trust in God. And to trust God, one of the first things we've got to do is we've got to be honest about who we are. We've got to be honest about who we are. And what I am, oh Lord, and what I am, church, is a human being. Unmistakably human, infallibly human, filled with fears, filled with worry, filled with preoccupation. I've got the chatter going on in my head. Whoever wrote the bulletin this morning, praise you, Jesus, because you nailed it with every prayer, with every song. With the psalm, every point. I am infallibly human, and I have no power. Now, we in our culture, in our world, in our whole world, but I think in particular in the culture of our United States, we pride ourselves on when we have a successful life, when we have a life worthy of being lived, we pride ourselves on being people of power. And even I find myself using the word empowerment all the time especially in my new capacity as a missionary. It's all empowering the people. And I began to think, and especially as we have lost our dear brother Paul, we don't have any power at all. We are powerless. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, or in Brenda's case, it's maybe taken about 50 times to really hear it. Power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. So it makes me think of the 12 steps, and maybe some of you in this community are familiar with the 12 steps, and many people in my congregation at La Trinidad are living in recovery, and I learned a lot from my brothers and my sisters in recovery. To come to believe that first step, right, to come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, but first we gotta admit that we are powerless, that our lives, in times of crisis especially, in times of in duress, that our lives have become unmanageable. And that's when it feels like we're drowning. When I was trying to manage my own life, I was, and just even the tiniest little metaphor of me trying to go out and enjoy that ocean, and I was in crisis mode because I'm trying to fight the waves, I'm trying using my own power, and there was nothing doing. because I didn't admit that I was powerless in the face of God's holy creation. So there comes a point, brothers and sisters, and maybe you already know this, and certainly those of you who have been walking the 12 steps, that you have come to believe that your life, that you are powerless. And initially it's kind of shocking. You're like, what a bummer, right? Like, God, I thought you were in the business, Jesus, of empowering the people. I read the book of Acts. I see lots of power going on, but we're not talking about necessarily that Holy Spirit power. I think that comes later. But first, we gotta acknowledge our human fallacy, our human failings, our human tenderness, our human vulnerability. If someone hurts me, I cry. Sometimes I try to pretend like everything's, I'm okay, I'm okay. It's okay to be honest, I'm not okay. Things aren't okay. But there is someone, there is a greater power, there is a higher power, greater than me. The power belongs to God, who can restore me, whose business is restoration, amen? Whose business is recovery, hallelujah? Whose business is life and new life and regeneration? Thanks be to God, because I thought I had to do it all alone. Oh, but thank God for the incarnation. Thank you, Jesus, for the incarnation. Thank you for making the choice to come to us, because we could not figure out how to get to you. And then the third step, and I know my brothers and my sisters here can tell you, to humbly decide to give our lives over. To give our lives over to God, to our higher power. And I think that's what I did that moment in the ocean. Because it came down to not my ability to swim, not the equipment that I had, not the fact that I could still see my friends on the shore and they're gonna keep their eye on me. I've got all my insurance, right? I've got all my coverage. It didn't come down to any of that. I had to just decide to give my life over. And isn't that our decision as disciples? Because we can decide what it means to be wise as human beings. We plan, we have strategic directions, we have initiatives and programs and ministry, or in our personal families, we've got goals, we've got dreams, we've got calendars. I've got a chalkboard in my kitchen, and that keeps me together, and if someone accidentally erases something on that, my whole life just comes tumbling. Or God forbid, I my calendar, something glitch on my iPhone goes awry, and then I lose my calendar, and I wake up and I just, what do I do now? I don't even know how to brush my teeth without my calendar telling me. Right? We've come to rely on all these mechanisms as opposed to fully and humbly giving our lives over to God, the creator of heaven and of earth, the creator of you and me, who created us in his own image, men and women both. So we're powerless. We acknowledge our powerlessness. We acknowledge that there is a greater power. Amen. Thank God. Thank you, God. And not only the acknowledgement, because we could even cognitively acknowledge. I've got a friend who's real scientific, and she, you know, she could cognitively, intellectually acknowledge the existence of a higher power. But that next step, that next critical step of giving oneself over, that's, I think, where things begin to turn around. As Christian people, we've often used the images of when the storms come. The scriptures in the Bible, there's so many of them, right? The storms come, Jesus walking on water. The scripture we heard this morning with the children's, the storms come, Jesus calms the sea. The storms come and we cling to the rock and things are going to be okay. And I don't know about you, but there's been so many times in my life or people that I've ministered to where they're clinging. I see them authentically clinging to Jesus. They're clinging to that rock and still they're drowning. They've built their lives. They've built their homes. But still there's a drowning. There's still drowning and struggle. And it's gotten me to thinking that God wants more for us than just our clinging, than just the fact that we're just going to hold on to that life preserver for dear life. What the Lord is interested and desires, deeply desires our happiness. The Lord is interested and deeply desires our wholeness. God doesn't just want to save part of us or some of us or a piece of us. God wants to save all of us. And God wants to teach us how to breathe. In times where those storms come, in times where the gales, and we've been seeing horrifying images, haven't we? Especially in the Philippines most recently. Just God wants to teach us, I believe, how to breathe underwater. Because the storms are going to come in this life. And yes, there's a by and by. I believe there is the song when we all get to heaven, yes? I know that time will come and I will be relieved because I'm tired a little bit, right? But for now, God wants to show us how to continue with our lives, how to build our lives, how to move forward with our lives. Yes, still clinging to that rock, but also learning how to breathe underwater, rolling where we are. So many of us, I think especially in the Christian community, we think that things have to be so perfect. Perfect conditions or perfect circumstances are just right. And we talk a lot about the ingredients in a recipe. That might be a metaphor for us when we're talking about developing new minute. Everything's just got to be so. The temperature's got to be right. Got to have the right pan. You got to have the right ingredients. You know, you've got to have the right time, the right systems in place to move forward. But life isn't always that way. Because I don't know about you, but in life, the circumstances, they're not always perfect, right? Or maybe you've had a different kind of life than I have. Yeah, I thought so. I thought so. So how do we roll where we are? Because God is interested in our whole transformation. God is interested in our whole salvation. I want to read a poem to you that has meant a lot to me lately. And when I heard about Paul's passing, I thought of this poem and I thought of you. My brothers and sisters, some who I've had the privilege of connecting with in previous moments and time, but mostly those of you who I do not know, but you are still my brothers and sisters in Christ, thanks be to God. And I want to share this poem with you. It's by Carol Bielek, and it's called Breathing Underwater. Hear these words. I built my house by the sea. Not on the sands, mind you. Not on the shifting sand. And I built it of rock. A strong house by a strong sea. And we got well acquainted, the sea and I. Good neighbors, not that we spoke much. We met in silences, respectfully, keeping our distances, but looking our thoughts across the fence of sand, always the fence of sand, our barrier, always the sand between. And then one day, and I still don't know how it happened, the sea came, without warning, without welcome even, not sudden and swift, but a shifting across the sand like wine, less like the flow of water than the flow of blood, slow but coming. Slow but flowing like an open wound. And I thought of flight. And I thought of drowning. And I thought of death. And while I thought the sea crept higher till it reached my door, and I knew then there was neither flight nor death nor drowning. That when the sea comes calling, you stop being neighbors, well acquainted, friendly, at a distance neighbors, and you give your house for a coral castle, and you learn to breathe underwater. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for you, for each of you, during times of struggle, during times of difficulty, during times of trauma, my prayer for you is not flight, not drowning, and not death. My prayer is that our Lord Jesus will show us not just how to walk on water, but how to breathe underwater and continue to move forward with our trust and our lives humbly given over to the power who can restore us. Amen.